Now, I don't want you to, what does the note here say? Excuse the glasses. That's not very funny. I have not, for those of you who are wondering, joined the Amarillo Police Department SWAT team. And this is the glasses they wear. I'm just recuperating from cataract surgery, which got me these beautiful glasses. Aren't they good looking? Uh-huh. And we'll go from there. This weekend, as we've been talking, our nation is observing and celebrating Memorial Day. A lot of people think that's the same thing, but there's two things there. We are observing Memorial Day and we're celebrating too. Memorial Day honors the brave men and women who have sacrificed their lives in service to our country. And these courageous individuals gave everything they had to defend our freedoms and our way of life. And many Americans take time on this holiday weekend, primarily Sunday and Monday, to visit cemeteries and memorials. And others decorate the graves of fallen soldiers with flowers and American flags. Originally called Decoration Day, from the early tradition of decorating graves with flowers and wreaths and flags, Memorial Day is a day for remembrance. And that's part of what I want us to be thinking about today. We're going to talk about remembrance and a couple other things. Of all that's happened through the years in terms of our nation's conflicts and wars, and as a nation, we have a number of places we can visit that help us remember our heritage and the price that others have paid for our freedom. Memorial Day honors the men and women who have died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. It's a day that reminds us of the high price of freedom and the debt of gratitude we owe to those who made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our country and its freedoms. This includes, and I think this is very important, it includes soldiers, which would be Army, sailors, which would be Navy, airmen, which would be, that's correct, the Marines, and Coast Guardsmen who lost their lives in these conflicts and wars. And in remembering the fallen, we also want to honor the loved ones of those who have fallen. Spouses, think of the wives who lost their husbands. Fathers who also have lost their wives, and mothers who have lost their sons, and sons who have lost sons and daughters and sisters and brothers and friends who have been lost. Now, the Civil War, which is the basis of Memorial Day, backgrounds like Gettysburg and Shiloh speak of the cost of the war among ourselves. In fact, Memorial Day was established after the Civil War was ended. After it was a pretty long war, and we'll hear in a moment how many people were lost. Among other places, we visit Plymouth Rock, and I haven't asked, has anybody here visited Plymouth Rock? Well, good, I've never been there. I can't walk that fast. And then also Valley Forge. How many of you have been to Valley Forge? Yeah, I've been to Valley Forge many times. Our latest memorials, though, now are the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., and there's a portable, I just found out this week, there's a portable memorial wall that travels city to city and is called the Wall That Heals. Now think about that. That's about the Vietnam War, and this memorial goes from place to place, and people come around it and see it as what it is. The most recent memorial, though, is the 9/11 site in New York City. And I don't know how many of you have been there, but I've read about it and so forth, and that was quite a leveling of things. But speaking of memorial and memory, One writer that I was reading this week noted, we are thankful for our memory places most of the time. They're important to our Christian lives, such as our experience of accepting Jesus as our Savior and our baptism into Christ. Most of us who have been baptized into Christ remember that. And we're going to talk about memorials, and we're going to talk about memory. And what I want you to see is that both memorial and memory share a little bit of togetherness there, and that's going to be the focus today. The platform for Memorial Day is important to so many people because of their loved ones, and very important to the Memorial Day. It draws attention to celebrating our fallen veterans, but more than that, honoring the heroes who served our country. Now, the Civil War was the biggest of these wars, which ended in the spring of 1865. And that seems like a long time ago, but if you read the history books and stuff, the Civil War was nothing small at all. And I'm not exactly sure how they ended that in the spring of 1865. The Civil War claimed more lives than any other conflict in the history of our nation and required the establishment of our country's national cemeteries. And so today and tomorrow, and the national cemeteries that are across our nation are being decorated to remind people of what we're thinking about today with regard today and tomorrow about Memorial Day. But by the late 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities had begun holding springtime tributes to these countless fallen soldiers, and they began decorating their graves and reciting prayers at the grave. It's unclear where exactly this tradition originated. Numerous different communities may have independently initiated the memorial gatherings, and some records show that one of the earliest Memorial Day commemorations was organized by a group of formerly enslaved soldiers. Now, I want you to think about the Civil War for a moment, the Confederate side and the Union side. And here there is this group of men who were enslaved soldiers, but they got out and they were able to have their own camping and setting up. On the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield, who became president later, made a speech at the Arlington National Cemetery, which is the biggest one, and 5,000 participants decorated the graves of 20,000 20,000 Civil War soldiers that were buried there. Memorial Day was born out of necessity. After the American Civil War, a battered United States was faced with the task of burying and honoring the 600,000 to 800,000 Union and Confederate soldiers who had died in the single bloodiest military conflict in American history. Now, many of the northern states held similar commemorative events and reprised the tradition in subsequent years. By 1890, each one had made Decoration Day an official state holiday, which today is Monday. The southern states, on the other hand, which would have been the Confederates, continued to honor the dead on separate days until after World War I. And because World War I is so far back in history, we don't know as much about it as we do World War II and Vietnam and some of these others. The American flags, and I didn't know this until this week, American flags are flown at half staff on Memorial Day until noon, and then raised to the full staff for the rest of the day as a symbol of the nation's resilience and determination. I want to just drive around some this afternoon and see flags, and then I hope I can see somebody who is a patriot, obviously, who'll be out there raising that flag. Memorial Day was originally known as a Decoration Day. 100 years later, did I read that? In 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which made Memorial Day a federal holiday that always lands on the last Monday. I know I repeated that, I'm sorry. But as we think about the wars and the battles our nation has been engaged in, and some of us have and some of us have it, but I'm pretty sure everybody has seen something on TV and movies and so forth, it seems like a lot of our own soldiers were wounded or died. And many of us here know people who were part of our family or friends who were wounded and others who died. But our military personnel who died in these wars, including World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War, huge war with so much protesting and so forth. And that's when I was in college, where they came to Ohio State University and were blowing up things and stuff. And then the Korean War, which I don't know much about it all, and the wars most recently in Iraq and Afghanistan. Memorial Day became an important national holiday honoring all Americans who died while serving in the military. And it is a day that reminds us of the conflicts and wars that we have endured as a nation. Sadly, though, we have lost too many of our brave defenders. And that's part of what we're recognizing through the memorial part of Monday. We have many things that relate to the national holiday. The national holiday was established to honor those who died in America's wars. Memorial Day originated during the American Civil War. Think how long back that was, when citizens would place flowers on the graves of those who had been killed in battle. Now I want us to focus on this word, memorial. And we're going to talk about what a memorial is and so forth. But I also want us to think about this word memory, because this holiday and the things that we're talking about jog our memory, so we remember different things. And it's interesting that just the little bit of beginning of both of those words have the same part there of memorial and memory. Many of us probably remember the Bible's account of Joshua in chapter 4. I don't know if we've seen this in our Sunday school with the children and so forth. But when Joshua gathered 12 men while he was out leading the children of Israel, he picked one man from each tribe to build a memorial. Now that's the word memorial again. Joshua is going to build this memorial for the people, the children of God. And when he took the 12 stones, he was one from each of the tribes. And then they did this because God had led his people, if you can remember this, through 40 years of wandering. Under Joshua's leadership, the children of God, of Israel, were traveling. And God had led these people through the 40 years of wandering. And so then when they got to the Jordan River, God parted it for them to enter the promised land after they built the memorial. Now, none of us could have gotten the Jordan River separated, but God can do what he wants to do, can he? And that's what he did. And they went into the promised land. And then on the other side of the river, they built this memorial. As a regular part of our worship here at Washington Avenue, I want us to think of this word memorial that we heard about with the building of the memorial under Joshua's leadership in the River Jordan. And a little later this morning, as it is our practice, we will partake of the Lord's Supper and the memorial that it is. And I want us to challenge ourselves to express our gratitude when we're sharing in the Lord's Supper, the memorial of the Lord's Supper, which represents the cross and Jesus, and the memorial of the cross, to express our gratitude to Jesus. And not just to express our gratitude to Jesus, but also to repent of our sins. And I'm pretty sure that every one of us here can think of at least one sin that we've committed that we might repent. So we want to commit ourselves to celebrate what God has done for us. and what he will do for others in the future as we follow Jesus and lift our Heavenly Father with praise and commitment to him. People who don't know the Lord, who see us talking about it, it gives us an opportunity to share what we believe about God. Now, hopefully, Memorial Day is very important to the meaning of this holiday tomorrow and really today, too, as we remember and celebrate our fallen veterans and honoring the heroes who served our country. It's a time for us to express our deep gratitude for their dedication and devotion as they answered our nation's call. I would suspect that the majority of us have had times when we had a cookout or had a dinner around the table or went to the beach, and some of the people that were with us were dads who had served in the military in one of these units. It's time for us to express our gratitude for those men and women, notice, women too, flying jets and doing these things. They're answering the nation's call. Now, the Old Testament book of Joshua, there are accounts of things that God's people did as they followed Joshua's leadership. God had Joshua follow him. And Joshua told the priest, and I think most of us know, that the children of Israel were traveling, and they had with them these priests, and the priests would carry the Ark of the Covenant, and there were special things that they could do and things that they could not do. But with the people of Israel, there was those people. And so in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, he told the people that were following him, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for the Lord will do amazing things among you. I want to read that again. Joshua told these people, consecrate yourselves. I think you know what consecrate means. For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua told the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass ahead of the people. So those of the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant weren't at the beginning at that point, but now they're getting there, and the people want them to be in front. And so they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, those who are leading and the rest of the people of God, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. And it wasn't until this week when I was doing this studying stuff that I realized that Moses died before Joshua did. And somewhere down the line, as I keep reading through the Old Testament, there will be a time when Joshua dies. Tell the priests, Joshua said, who carried the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Now that sounds a little odd, doesn't it? But remember, this is God who is working through his people on this and sending some of them down to the Jordan River, and they were going to stand there on the edge. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the enemies of God's people. You've read Exodus and know all this trying around where the people of God are coming back to their place. And God wants to drive them out before the enemies of God's people. God said, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. So some of these priests went down and waited, but there were others who brought chosen 12, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priest who carried the Lord of all the earth in terms of the Ark of the Covenant set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream were cut off and stood up in a heap. Now, that's not something that we see every day, and that's, but that's what the Bible tells us, that God was making this passageway in the Jordan River so that his people, and moving from where they were through the Jordan River, so where they would get back to their own promised land. Reminding ourselves of Memorial Day and our own memories, remember those two words go together, memory, memorial, remind us that it's an important part of remembering what God has done for us and what God has done in our lives that we sometimes forget. In the Old Testament book of Joshua that we were reading a moment ago, the Israelites built a memorial containing 12 stones on the riverside where they existed and in the riverbed before the water was allowed to flow again. Now, these weren't little rocks. These were big boulders that big, strong men was told by Joshua to go and get these 12 big boulders that we can build a memorial together for God to be honored. The 12 stones of remembrance were carried by one man in each tribe, and it was placed then, these 12, at the center of Gilgal, which was another one of their places, as Joshua commanded it. Joshua taught the Israelites that the 12 stones that these men had picked up, some in the Jordan, some on the side, the 12 stones were a memorial to the Lord, and that's what we want to keep remembering, and that every time they looked to the stones, they were to remember how good God is, how he maintains his purposes, and how he keeps his promises. Right out of the Old Testament book of Joshua, you and I need to continue to remember how good God is. Doesn't mean that we never have any problems or troubles or any hurts or any pain, but God is our God, and in our memories we have this memorial of God and the things that he's doing. He maintains his purposes and he keeps his promises. Again, from Joshua 4, God wants to ensure that his people will never forget what he has done. And I haven't been over there, I don't know where that memorial might be, but at least back when Joshua was leading the people, it was a very meaningful memorial that the people of God, under his direction, with Joshua helping, 12 big stones to honor God. Eventually, when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan back, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Since they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which is a memorial and represents God himself, they wanted to go ahead, and the Jordan was at flood stage during the harvest. And as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream, where it had been stopped earlier, stopped flowing, so the people crossed over opposite of Jericho back to where they started. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground. Let me read that again. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan River and stood on dry ground, while all Israel, all of the people of God who had been following Joshua, passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on the dry ground. Now, can you imagine this morning? It's so hard for me seeing what had happened as God had directed his people, but I'm reading it from the Bible, from Joshua. I believe it. And I believe God gave us these memorials. Allow me to read 7 verses from the Bible that conclude this account from Joshua. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the Ark of the Covenant, your God, into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And I think this idea of the memorial, if we remember something, if these people of God go back and see this memorial, they remember how good God was to them and what God had helped them do and how God had helped them overcome some things. And that's why today and tomorrow, I want us to keep thinking about this idea of memorial. What has God done that we need to be so thankful for? Walter Kaiser Jr. is an author that I really like. And he wrote a book entitled The Majesty of God in the Old Testament. And he said, there is no God anywhere in the universe that can compete with the Lord our God in his deeds, works, or person for his greatness and surpasses everything and every other being. Most of you remember many years ago, there was a singer in America who was very popular. And I know everybody's probably thinking of different ones, but you'll know who this one is in a moment. Her name was Kate Smith. I listened to her on a CD this week. She had a radio program back on those Sunday nights. A lot of you don't remember radio programs on Sunday night, but we had them. She had a radio program before the days of television, and I suppose that she was the most beloved singer in all of America. And one evening on her radio program, before we had the television, she introduced America to a brand new song. I want you to relax, I'm not going to sing. I save that for Thursday nights at 11 o'clock when I'm by myself. The words of the song went something like this. God bless America, land that we love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the ocean white from foam, God bless America, our home, sweet home. Now, as we participate in the Lord's Supper in a moment, we're getting ready to do that, so you can start getting ready. Let's remind ourselves that the Lord's Supper is a memorial. It's part of our worship, but it's a memorial because the bread represents the body of Jesus, and the fruit of the vine represents the blood of Jesus. The memorial that Jesus died on the cross tells us that this is what we do to remember him. The cross is a memorial, and I think that we know that. And most churches do have a cross somewhere in their auditorium. The cross on which Jesus was crucified, we don't have, but we know the cross is a memorial. And that memorial should always be in our memory as we try to be more and more the kind of people that God has called us to be. There's one last thing I want to say today that I did not find out about until Friday. And this is something that grabs me. I'm not sure it will grab you, but I end with this. God wants to ensure that his people will never forget what he has done. That's why we have these memorials. Our memory is jagged. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the privilege to worship together. We thank you for the privilege to laugh together, the privilege to sing together, and the privilege to honor you as our Heavenly Father and your Son, our Savior and Lord. We thank you for this man Joshua and wish we knew more about him, but it's so exciting to read about how they brought their mound together and how God worked with them in terms of the Jordan River. but we are a people who are indebted to you. And we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. And we pray that over these next couple of days, you will continue to bless us and encourage us, that we might become more and more the kind of people that you have called us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As we're remembering and turning towards the Lord's Supper, let's remember that last night that Jesus had with his disciples. He took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And likewise, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take, drink." Amen. As we close today, I'll invite any elders to come up to the front. If you need any prayer for anything, staff and elders will be up here to pray with you if you need that. Want everybody to have a blessed day, blessed Memorial Weekend. Have a good one.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out a worship experience here at Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're so glad that you chose to carve out part of your weekend to spend with us. And we would love to know that you were here watching with us online. So would you take just a moment, head over to our website, wacconline.org, and fill out the digital connect card there. You can let us know that you were here. You can let us know any next steps that you may be interested in taking, including but not limited to placing your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You can also let us know about anything that we can be praying about for you and with you. And I will be following up with you later on this week about those connect cards. Again, we're so glad that you chose to be with us for this worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace.